FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and it's 7-17-17, whatever that means. But hey, don't forget, we love your emails, your questions for FSN. Just send us an email, kl@kerrylutz.com, kl@kerrylutz.com. So, you know, the judiciary is out of control. Having been a lawyer for many years, having been both a perpetrator of what's wrong with the judicial system, or an enabler perhaps, and being a victim of it in a number of lawsuits that I've personally been involved in, I can tell you that if you trust your life to the judiciary, you will find yourself hanging from a rope. But more on that when we talk with Daniel Greenfield. You can find his work on the web at sultankinish.blogspot.com and other sites. Hey, Daniel, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me on.
So you wrote an article last Friday, America is not a nation ruled by judges. What did you mean by that exactly?
Well, we've had the system now with judicial supremacism. What that means is that the Supreme Court effectively gets the final say. So the legislature, the White House, everybody else doesn't matter. The Supreme Court making the final decision. And now we see a travel ban, which everybody's waiting for the Supreme Court to
right.
decide. President Trump completely has the legal authority to do this. But then some federal judges decided that he doesn't. They decided they want to be the president instead. And the whole thing is being shaded by the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court kind of issued a temporary, putting the different decision again mind President Powers. And the road judge, Judge Derek Watson, and who is at the heart of this whole thing, again, once again decided he should decide how many refugees can actually come to America. Now it's going back to the Supreme Court. And this is not how our system was meant to work. When you look at the positions of President Thomas Jefferson, Lyndon Jackson, all of them had the consistent idea that wasn't a judicial supremacism. The Supreme Court had the power to interpret the Constitution within the judiciary, and the president had the power to interpret the Constitution within the executive, and Congress had the power to interpret the Constitution within the legislature. Each branch of government had the power to determine what the Constitution was for within its own branch.
Right. And they were co-equal. But of course, if a president felt that the Congress passed an unconstitutional bill, he could ignore it or have a confrontation with the Congress over it that might very well wind up in the Supreme Court. So the whole system of checks and balances did not intend for any branch to have the last say, did it?
There's the idea of checks and balances is that there's supposed to be a tug of war between the varying branches. One branch will tell he's more power, will
yeah.
push back. So there was always meant to be kind of system. What we have is not a system of checks and balances.
Right.
When have power when nine men are in this case, basically Justice Kennedy is given the power to decide everything for America.
Yeah, it's really one man because you pretty much know how the four on the right are going to rule and the four on the left. So if Justice Kennedy were to resign, that's not really going to solve the problem, is it? Because the court has probably going back to Marbury versus Madison kind of redefined its role as the super legislature, or the final arbiter of all things government.
That is essentially what we're dealing with. And the Supreme Court, an activist judiciary is the best possible tool of the government, and it's fundamentally undemocratic. We have a government of the people by the people. When the Supreme Court is making all the final decisions, that's not government of the people by the people. And when they're not making those decisions really based on the original intent and text of the Constitution, but based on what they would like the Constitution to say, the so-called living Constitution, then there's no, we have nine unelected tyrants. That's what it amounts to.
Yeah. Well, it was bad enough having two unelected ones, but now the thought of having nine, you know, everybody needs to have some idea. And it's not like they're consistent either, right? I mean, it's kind of they rule by judicial whim or judicial fiat. So you never really know how they're going to rule on any particular case. So how do you set your behavior? How do you make plans when this albatross is potentially looming over your neck?
Bottom line is we need to restore the original Jacksonian, Jeffersonian understanding of the co-equal powers, which means that the president does have the right to utilize traditional powers that he's always had, that liberals had no problem with when Obama utilized it on immigration, for example. And the Supreme Court and school judges do not just get to walk over and say, no, you can't do this.
Right. So, but now the toothpaste is out of the tube, the genie is out of the bottle, whatever you want to say. And, you know, that old Monty Python act where the guy goes, gee, absolute power is good as long as I have it anyway. That's the implication being. So we need to rein in all the branches of government. It's really not just the courts. The executive has got too much power, and arguably the Congress has too much power by not exercising their own power, which kind of messes up everything. So there's got to be some grownups here that take a look at things and say it's got to change, right? But where are they?
Well, again, you kind of have to push back in terms of power. So this is something that President Trump needs to do. It's something that Congress needs to do, because it's not just happen on its own when we talk about it. I mean, that's important conversation, but the way that actually the federal government was meant to work, that the various branches would actually exercise power, and the Supreme Court has been doing this wonderfully. The Supreme Court just exercises its power, and the White House just kind of asks the permission, which affirms that it does have this power, because once you see power, then the other side now exercises it. So the White House needs to exercise the power the way Lincoln exercised that power, and basically force the Supreme Court to react to that exercise of power.
And the way Jackson exercised it, he just ignored the decision. He didn't like it. So now, though, the Supreme Court has the power to take federal marshals and send them to arrest the president, in theory, to take over control of the government if they so desired, it seems to me anyway.
Essentially, yes. But you do have this kind of confrontation, and out of confrontation can emerge with understanding. When you don't have a confrontation, when instead you have compliance, there's no new understanding that's going to emerge from it.
Right. So it's time to make a stand, is what you're saying, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, there's no better time to do this now. And what's happened with President Trump's victory and the increasing derangement of his opponents is various federal judges are now seizing even more power, power that they did not have before, in this very troubling situation. And if they've been insisting on claiming that they have complete authority over immigration, that they can decide how many people should be allowed into this country, effectively cease to be.
Yeah, that's a total usurpation of the executive function of the government. I mean, you can't read it any other way. And I do believe that the Supreme Court is going to slap it down, but that just gives them more power in the making. So we've got real problems. A lot of it has to do with the branches of government not doing their jobs, not standing up for principles that should be self-evident, self-obvious. And then you've got the concept, well, if nobody else is going to take power, we'll do it. And that's what you see happening with the Supreme Court. I mean, they did slap down Obama on a number of issues, but probably not enough. They certainly should have destroyed Obamacare. And now we're stuck with that monstrosity. And that was an area where they should have acted, where it was certainly within their power, within their mandate. And yet they punted, right, by saying it's really a tax, not a penalty. We're forcing you to buy health insurance, which basically gave the green light to Obamacare in the situation we have now.
Exactly. And what actually happened there was a textbook example of what I'm describing, which is that the Obama administration made it clear Obamacare was not going anywhere. If the Supreme Court decided to rule against it, there would be other options, including bringing back FDR's court packing schemes, that you can basically appoint as many Supreme Court justices as you want. And the Supreme Court blinked.
Yeah, they certainly did. And supposedly Judge Justice Roberts wrote the minority opinion and the majority opinion, which doesn't happen very often in the Supreme Court.
No, it does not.
Thank goodness. So going ahead, are you hopeful? You think we're going to come to our senses as a society and try to right things? Or are we just going to keep going down the path of decline and really getting ever closer to chaos, Daniel?
We're kind of shakedown moment of institutions are tottering. Some are downright collapsing. The middle class is in big trouble. There's a lot of instability. There's a lot of anger. And so we're in this kind of moment that's at the same time scary, but also transformational. Whether or not it will actually be transformational in a good way really depends on our leaders.
Yeah, it's kind of like the cliche, and I don't know that it's necessarily true, but it's been repeated so often, it might as well be. The Chinese symbol for crisis is composed of two symbols. One is danger and the other is opportunity. So all of these problems, if you will, these challenges, provide the opportunity for reform and to improve the underlying system.
You really have to hope.
Yes, you really do have to hope. Hey, Daniel, where's the best place to find your work these days?
Well, it said Google Daniel. Daniel Greenfield, but Google seems to have resurgence of havoc. So I can be found at frontpagemag.com and at my blog, which is tokenknish@blogspot.com. And really just Googling Daniel Greenfield still sort of works.
Excellent. Well, we will definitely keep up with you there. And just go over to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. We got a link to Daniel's site right there. And while you're at it, take a look at the Facebook page, Financial Survival Network, and our Twitter feed is at Carrie Lutz. Daniel, it's always great having you on. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me on.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.